You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to this episode of Mama's Talking Loud. I'm Jessica Rush.
And I'm Kara Cooper. And you're listening to our episode with Tony and Grammy winner Heather Headley.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Mama's Talking Loud. I'm Jessica Rush.
And I'm Kara Cooper. And today we have singer, songwriter, record producer, and actress. She is a Tony Award winner for starring in Aida. She also won the 2010 Grammy Award for Best Contemporary R&B Gospel Album, our first Grammy Award winner on the show.
Holla!
she was the original Nala in The Lion King.
Played Shug Avery and The Color Purple. I mean, she is a Renaissance woman all around. You've maybe seen her as Gwen Garrett on Chicago Med. And coming up, launching streaming today, is her new Netflix series, Sweet Magnolias. Welcome, Heather Headley.
Thank you. Did my mother send you guys that? Because she's been known to do worse.
I feel like my mothers
are like that.
Yeah. She's a dangerous person. Terrible.
No, we like to give a nice overview. And it is exciting, you know, when we have women on who do so many things. You know, there are those of us in the business who are maybe theater actors and we haven't quite crossed over, but you truly are like a Renaissance woman doing it all. So we got to give credit where it's due, honey.
I guess.
Exactly.
Thanks. Yes. Heather, will you, thank you so much for joining us today, first off.
My pleasure. You're my pleasure. You had me at Mama.
Yes. Well, that's a good lead in, because the first question we like to ask on our podcast that I don't think is often asked is, will you please tell us about your children?
Oh, okay. we have two boys. A 10-year-old who is a saint, pretty much. We have a 5-year-old who was sent to us to show us that the 10-year-old is a saint.
Do you say two? How old?
Five. Five years old. But he is also just like a fun. He is like a naughty fun. Everybody says he is like a little version of me. So he's very mischievous. But they're really sweet boys. So we have those two boys, and then we have a princess who is a year old. Oh. Yeah, she's a year, and she is pretty much running the show right now. She is running the show. And you know, when we had her, I remember telling my husband before I delivered, I was just kind of like, you have to remember who I am and the fact that you love me the most. And it's all about, he's always wanted a girl. He's always wanted. So we had this conversation, and the entire time, no joke, ladies, he was looking at me like, get your shoes, get your stuff, and get out of my house. You give me what I want, just get out. I'm done.
And so work here is done.
It's done. Your work here is done. My father-in-law said it. My mother said it. They were just like, we've just been waiting for you to deliver this child. Now get out. Oh. And so I thought to myself that the natural order of things is like, you have a princess, you know, me being princess of the house. And after that, I would graduate to being queen.
Exactly.
That's how it's supposed to be. But this child came and she went from princess within a day to queen. And I'm just kind of like the cook in the chimney sweep. I'm just
like, I have to say, I mean, when that girl comes along, you become like the lady in waiting, right? You're her lady in waiting.
A lady in waiting. That's just so what true. I do. I clean her pamper. And my husband does not care. He's like, The funniest part is like the first few weeks of life, I remember I was changing her and she pooped all over me. Just, you know, did it. And I remember calling him, like, I was like, the disregard, the disrespect. Go to the toilet all over me. Like, how dare she? And he looked at me and he was like, well, what did you expect her to do if you don't have her pamper on? Like, where should she go except me? And I was like, is this happening? I've been with you for many years before she's
anyway, right.
Running it's, the house.
Well, that's, the little girls and daddy's girl. I mean, it is a very real, my daughter and husband are peas in a pod, best buddies.
Yeah.
He said, I remember when we got the, so I had to know what I was having because I hate, I love surprises, but I'm a planner. Yes. So I had to know. And when we opened the envelope, I saw, you know, it's a girl. And he's like, I'm screwed. he knew it like right away. He was like, I'm done for. And it's
when it's so true. When we found out we were having a girl, I looked at my husband and I said, oh, I said, she is always going to love you. And there's going to be a period of time where she hates me. That's the first thing I said. Cause I was like, I just know like that's the mother daughter relationship, you know, that pull. And to be honest, do you feel this way with your sons? Like, I do feel like my son is like, mommy, 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 mommy.
Yeah.
Whereas my daughter is daddy, 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 daddy. Yeah.
She's kind of in a mood right now that she thinks I'm okay. So she's kind of, you know, cause she still understands that I have to feed her. And so but the boys are very much like mom. You know, my husband spent all these years, 10 and 5, kind of being like, you deal with her, you deal with your mother, like, you know, so they're very much like, we don't jump on mom, we take care of mom, and oh, mommy, mommy, you know, they come at night and mom, you know, but this relationship with the husband and the daughter, it's going to get messy. It's gonna get messy. He already is useless under her powers. Yeah. Nothing. She, you know, at night he comes down. She's been screaming all night, and you know, 2 o'clock in the morning she's screaming. And he comes down. He's like, she's just so cute. She snuggled me. She's been screaming since 1 a.m. She's just so cute. I can't help but love her.
It is so true. It is so true. Oh my gosh. Well, it sounds, I mean, having three kids, that must mean you like them. A, you like having them to some
degree. Yeah, well, she was a surprise. I don't know how she happened. That's my story and I'm sticking to it.
Oh.
I have no idea how that went down. And so, but can I just tell you a very quick story, ladies? Yeah. So my son, about 2 or 3 months before we found out about our daughter, I kind of went through this kind of grieving period. You know, they're 10 and 5. And I thought to myself, I remember thinking, I think it's done. It's over. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm finished. So this is our picture. This is what we look like. And am I done? And I remember going to the 10-year-old and telling him, you know, the family, I said, you know, I think it's over. My 10-year-old goes, he said, no, you know, I've always wanted a baby sister. And I've wanted a baby sister since my brother showed up. And he said, and I've just always prayed that I want a baby sister. And I said, oh, okay. And he goes, and you know what? I'm going to just start praying again to get a baby sister. So every night, Jessica Cara, every night, this stinker would pray. So Jesus, please help my mom and my baby. And Father in heaven, please let my mommy get pregnant and have a little girl. And every night I'd go, ha, 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 stupid kid. Ha, 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 ha.
And he then did. It was the immaculate conception.
2 months later, I'm like, Like, what in God happened here?
Because seriously, like I seriously have no idea how it happened. Like, and so now, and then when we found out, because I didn't find out with the boys, but I found out with her. So when we did find out it was a girl, I said to him, I said, you are not allowed to pray for anything unless I have permission to pray.
You run your prayers by me first.
I have a few things to tell you about those prayers, because obviously God is not listening to me. Right. So her name is Eliana. It means God answered my prayer, and it's in honor of him, because he prayed her in. He prayed her in. And it's his baby. Like, he takes care of her like he's a husband. Oh. He checked my belly every week. You know, he wanted to know what she was doing. Oh, she's growing legs and she's growing this. And, you know, the last 2 or 3 weeks of the pregnancy, I didn't let him check anything because it was all about boys.
But that is so beautiful. Her name is so beautiful. And what a, it's so lovely that you guys chose to sort of honor his wish and prayer in that way. Yes. That's just so, I just got a little emotional when you said that.
I know. It was so.
Yes,
so she's really been a great gift. I did not expect her. I really seriously had no idea. I mean, when I went to the doctor thinking I had a tumor, that's what my, I went in there thinking something was wrong with me.
Oh,
and he's
wow.
like, you're pregnant. And I was like, what?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
It just crossed my mind because you said she's a year old. She must have been quite young while you were filming Sweet Magnolias, yes?
Oh, I was 2 months postpartum. So very heavily postpartum.
Yeah.
Breastfeeding, pumping between scenes. You know, I had, we can talk about everything. I had the LV, I had the this. My whole trailer was like,
that sound is unmistakable.
And just like fridges. I'm like, don't go in the fridge. Don't go in the fridge. You'll find something you don't want to see. And so, it was. Yeah.
How was that? I mean, did you ever go back to work that quickly with the boys?
No, I always had time with the boys, and you know, like maybe 6 months, a year. You know, not a year, but at that point too, it was the concert, so I can kind of go do one and come back. So we ended up with two nannies because she was so very young, and I kind of moved everybody in. And it was difficult, but we got through it with the help of nannies. And you know, I'd come in at night and she'd be like, oh, yeah, no, you don't get to sleep. I'm going to nurse all night. And so, you know, there was that. Yeah. I will say this, though. When they were talking to me about the show, I was heavily pregnant. 8.5 months. I mean, when I was talking to producers, I was in my OB's office, like feet up. I remember him coming by. He's like, are you ready?
Give me a minute. I'm trying to get some work.
And seriously, because I knew this was my last pregnancy, the last 2 months of my pregnancy, I did not care. There's a burrito place a few blocks away that I would put sunglasses on for breakfast, and then I'd try to change my hair for the lunch. They're like, we know it's you. We know it's you.
Again. Not pulling up.
Wait, I have to know, what was your order? What was your burrito?
But that's the point. They've got these burritos they can fill with anything. The thing would come out, Jessica, like this big.
Oh,
because I want mushrooms in it, and then put this in it, and put more of that in it, and then, yeah, and don't put that, put one scoop of that. You know how the pregnant.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Put a scoop and a half of the sauce, and then you.
Right, but you've got to take advantage. It's the only time
exactly.
We can really just... let go.
Indulge.
I gained 50 pounds with my kids.
Amen.
So
there you go. And so I was just like, I do not care. And so then these people call and they're just like, we need you to come be on TV. And I was like, has the burrito place not called you and told you? I've given them a lot of money. I paid for their patio. Like, had they not told you? But with that said, Cheryl Ensign and Don Paulson, Norm Buckley, I was so grateful for them to kind of like say, we don't care. And we want you in all of your postpartum glory. And I feel as though at times as women, we get so concerned about that. You know what I mean? You're kind of like, well, you won't want me because I'm not perfect and I'm not this and I'm not that. And I'm grateful that these people, two men included, were like, none of that. You know, so what if you're a little, you know, bigger than you normally are and you've got to pad your bra a little bit more because of whatever? So I'm grateful for that.
That's fantastic to hear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's something so you often, don't hear a lot of.
Yeah. I mean, we've talked about that on the show. It's like with, you know, having to either hide that you're pregnant when you're auditioning or they can't see past that or you worry right. and how quickly you can get your body back. And it's so refreshing to hear not just a woman, but two men included.
Yeah.
Because they're hiring you, the artist, the right. human artist. And that right. includes all of the life experience and the life
Amen.
That comes with it.
Amen. And they were just kind of like, look, we have a great, which we did. We had a great wardrobe and she'll hide what she hides and we'll be fine and we'll get through it. And I was like, well, I'm bringing a 2-month-old with me, a 2.5-month-old, you know, with me. And they're just like, if you're good, we're good. And I also have to give credit to my husband because I remember thinking, well, I need to be home with the baby and this is not right. And what am I? And he's like, you are always touting about woman power. And about the fact that women can do things and women can do it. He's like, when else would women have to go back? You know, you'd have to get, he's like, you're going. And I was like, okay, husband.
Good though. It's good. Sometimes we need someone to call us on our, you know, the stands that we yeah. take when the moment arises for ourselves. And I think that's mm-hmm. hard. You know, it's sometimes mm-hmm. we talk about stuff on here or we've made comments and pieces that we've been quoted in papers. And Kara and I have those moments of, ooh, do we go a little too far? Should we not have said that or been as honest? But mm-hmm. only by speaking up and standing up will yes. there be change
yes.
in any way. So
yes.
kudos to you. Did you guys shoot in LA?
No, we went down south. Huh?
Oh, to Atlanta.
Ooh.
Yes, yes. And we were in the south in July.
Ooh. Girl, I'm from Southeast Texas, so I know that humidity and I know that heat and it yes. is hot. And 2 months postpartum, oh my God.
Oh. There was water running in places I didn't think it could run.
but I saw that Joanna Garcia and like Jamie Lynn Spears, there are other moms on the show as well.
Yeah.
Women
this was a very family oriented off screen show. So Joanna came on down with her babies and Jamie Lynn would have her babies on set too. You know, babies were always in somebody's trailer. Or you know, nannies are hanging around. Even Cheryl, she has older kids, but they were there. So Chris has babies he brought in. All the guys had their kids around. So we were very aware of, you know, how are your kids doing? How are you doing? You know, should our kids get together? I have a pool. Do you have a pool? You know, that kind of thing. So it became very much a family thing. And I think it's beautiful, as you women know, to be able to talk to people on that level. You know what I mean? Like, you know, oh, but my boobs hurt today because,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
it's happening and this, you know. And so it's versus sometimes you're on set and you don't have that kind of womanly or motherly camaraderie. Mm-hmm. And people don't understand, but this was a lot of fun. It was completely different in that way. So.
Oh. That yeah. sounds so special. Just to be able to say something and know that your castmates get it. They understand it in a way that someone who's not a parent doesn't, not to their yeah. fault. They just haven't experienced it yet, you
yes.
know?
Yes.
That just, I don't know. It must've been a really special experience because of that.
Yeah. It made it quite much easier.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It made it easier because Joanna definitely understood, you know, what it's like to be 2 months postpartum. And what that entails, and you know, she's like, you're okay, da 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 da, you do, you know, and so yeah, so it was great, it was good.
We kind of jumped right into Sweet Magnolias. Let's go back a little bit to part of your Broadway career, because you burst onto the scene, and were in The Lion King, and then won your Tony for Aida, and then you kind of took a break from theater to right. pursue music, right? So that was that something that was always in your plan? You always knew you wanted to step away from the theater? Or is that just kind of how it?
That's kind of how. So I grew up in Trinidad. you know, the island of Trinidad and Tobago, amazingly gorgeous place. I'm grateful for every step on that island and wouldn't change it for the world. But when I was growing up, our little family did not know anything about Broadway at all. I had no, I mean, I knew it was in New York. I thought it was one theater, I think, or one street with theater. I had no idea. Ironically, the first show, first movie I ever saw was The Sound of Music. And so in my brain, I thought all movies had music in it, and which made sense to me because why wouldn't you sing when you couldn't talk anymore? You know what I mean? Because that's how I live my life. I sing when I can't speak anymore. So it's like, played it, I sing. So our little family had never been, I had never been outside of Trinidad. So I didn't know what New York looked like or anything like that. I did know about Whitney Houston. I did know about CeCe Winans and wanting to be like Whitney, you know? So in the back of my head, there was always this, I would love to do a record one day. But my journey was so amazing because Broadway got opened up to me in this way, you know, like I just never knew. And my teachers in school were like, this is what musicals are, and this is how you get into musicals. And then my college teachers and everybody kind of, and I was like, oh, look at this amazing world. You know what I mean? And so I was having the best time, needless to say, on Broadway. And then the record company came in and said, you know, have you ever thought about doing a record? And I was like, yeah, I mean, back. You know,
I sing all the time.
Thought about it, yeah. It crossed my mind. And so then they were like, well, we'd love to do a record with you if you wanted to. So that's how, you know, that happened. I think it was kind of like, you know, I had gone into my whole Broadway journey. I was here and I still love it and I'm loving it. And then they said, well, would you like to do this? And it was like, oh, well, you know, sure, I'll try it. You know, with always the thought of we're going to come back. I think of my life, ladies, like a tree, for want of a better word. And there are all these different branches of it, you know, and I love all the branches. I always think, well, let's dip my toes in there and see if it comes out. If it's too cold, we'll pull back. And if it's not, okay. But so there's the branch of Broadway, which is, I don't know if it's a branch, it's more like a complete limb.
Right.
You know? And a beautiful limb. And then there's the branches of the recording and now the television and, you know, and Netflix and mommying the limb, the whole, you know, four limbs of mommying and wifing and all that kind of stuff. So I took the time to go, you know, had a little time to go do the album and come back.
That's so fantastic when things just, when they come to you, right? I mean, yeah. So much of careers as actors and artists is sort of pounding down the door and have, you know, shouting for people to see us or putting out the work and hoping that it's noticed. And so I can imagine how wonderful it is when someone comes to you and says, I'd love for you to do this, you know, and it's such a seamless sort of transition in a lot of ways. I just have to say, before we get too far off the topic of Broadway, Aida, I love it so much. I'm going to fangirl for just a second because God's Love Nubia is so beautiful. I love the show so much. It's one of my favorite cast albums. I just have to say, and I would sing Easy as Life was in my book. I mean, I don't sing it, but you know, like when I was younger, I loved singing that song.
It was the best of times and it was the best of times.
Aww.
That Aida, she changed my life. Needless to say. And so I would never, when it was time to leave the show, I remember telling everybody that I was going to leave months before I was ready to leave. Mm-hmm. Because I think you know this well, you both know this, there comes a point in the show where you're like,
yeah, I'm out, I'm done. I can't say those words anymore.
You're just like, I've done it 6,455 times. And I never wanted that. Aida was too good to me. I never wanted to feel like, oh, I don't like this anymore, ever. So I said, I'm going to leave. So the night that I left, I I was asking doctors for a medication because I was crying. I was looking at Adam and I'm like, that kind of thing.
No, so I'm sure that's how I would be. Yeah.
Yes. I mean, she was just so good to me, changed my life. And she changed my mindset as well. You know, I mean, she taught me. I even think, you know, I used to tell people she would wake me up in the middle of the night. Aida wouldn't say, you didn't say that line, right? I would just say it better. You know what I mean? And so I would, every day was this, oh, how can I make it better? How can I fix it? How can I be better and be better? And so I am grateful to Disney. I'm grateful to that show, to my castmates and to all the creatives, and grateful to her for teaching me, teaching my voice and everything like that. So it wasn't easy to say, oh, let's take a minute and let's do this album or anything like that, you know? But it always it warms my heart to know that people still love that show.
Oh, it was beautiful. I couldn't be bothered to sing My Strongest Suit. I just wanted to sing all of yours. Because that's the good stuff. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, Strongest Suit's funny, but you got the nice emotional, you know, the journey and the thing, and all the, you know.
You know, it's funny, just very quickly, I used to be so upset about that because I was like, Sherry gets all the fun songs because all my songs were like, nobody loves me. What? Yeah. Cry, angst. And I was like, I just want to be my strongest.
Totally. I mean, it's those moments when you see a show and you think, oh my gosh, they have so far to go. Like I'm in Tina. I mean, I was in Tina until Broadway stopped. Yeah. And I watch Adrienne Warren and she is a force and she is so unreal. But I watch her show and I think, I'm so glad that is not my show.
Yeah,
I'm so glad that is not my show, because it's like she gets to the intermission and she still has so far to go. Like the 80s haven't even started. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, and it's the same with like Aida. You think, oh, I wish I want to be in that easier one over there sometime.
You know, I was so happy. It was, I'm happy, of course, now, but it was one of the happiest times of my younger life. You know why? It was cathartic, because every night I got a chance to cry. Every night I would just cry about things. I would just be like, today I'm going to cry about this. And so I felt like it was this release. And so everything would be left on stage and I would leave going, I got a good cry out of that show tonight, you know, because at intermission it was like, no, got some crying to do. It's getting ready to get on. So
it's going to get heavy again. So
it was like your therapy every night. You got to like,
I get to purge.
Yeah, well, I think theater and therapy in so many ways for the people on stage and the people off, you know, or who are watching the audience, you know?
Yeah, because I do love it. I love to give the audience the just the go ahead, the right to cry. So I feel like if I go there once or twice, it's like, go straight ahead, have fun. Let's cry together,
I think that during this time, that's what I'm missing the most. I mean, I think we all are, the human connection and and I think about being in a theater again and when that will be. And there's nothing like going on a journey in a dark room full of strangers, I think, you know, and telling either you're on stage telling the story or you're in the house watching and taking it in. Yes. And when everyone laughs at the same time, when everyone cries at the same time, it's just so moving.
Yeah.
I can hear you getting.
Let's all cry together.
No, I missed it. I miss it. I miss our world right now. So that's just such a beautiful thing. And shows like that, I think, that tell such an emotional story.
Yeah.
Really are ones that I think everyone gets something out of it, even more so when they
leave.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Yeah.
Did you, when you were doing it, when you were in your early 20s in New York, were you wanting to have children? Were you wanting to be a mom? Did you see that journey for yourself, or was it
No. You know, I thought I would have to, because, you know, that's what you do. You have kids. Uh-huh. So I did three, never. I didn't think. I thought maybe one would grace my body, you know. And then I met him.
Tell us I think
it's that, you know, that song. And when you see your unborn children in her eyes, you know you really love. Ooh,
yes.
But you remember that? But
I do.
In this
love
one,
a woman.
You love a woman. And but this is a different part of it. It's you love a man. I think when I met my husband, and it was kind of like, maybe I can have a kid for you. And then, well, maybe there'll be two. And then, of course, the third one showed up. But the princess showed up. But yeah, I never thought that, you know, oh my gosh, this is what I want to have, you know, three children. It wasn't part of the plan, I think. It was like, I thought, oh, well, maybe we'll have a kid. But you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I never thought of myself as being the mommy. I guess when you're in New York, you're just like, well, how do we cook cookies in this kitchen? It's so tiny.
Right? Yeah, there is that. How do I lug this stroller around? Yeah, the subway. I mean, for sure. Yeah. There's definitely that. Did you meet him in New York? And then, because now you live elsewhere. So I just wonder how that journey came about. I mean, if it was hard to make the decision to leave the city.
No. So Brian and I were at Northwestern together. Oh. So every year at Northwestern, we do a show called the WAMU Show. And it's a show where the students write it, but it's directed by a known director, and a lot of money goes into it. It's like the creme de la creme of the school, and everybody has to audition very hard to do it. And the year that we were doing this show, the football players had gone to the Rose Bowl for the first time in 4,000 years. And so they wrote them into the show, like no audition necessary, nothing. They just wrote them in. Much to my chagrin and anger, because right. I'm like, you know, I have been auditioning and doing, you know. Yeah. And then the night that they showed up for the rehearsal, because they literally could show up whenever they wanted to, because they're the football
players. They're football players, yes.
I am not lying to you. It was like listening to a ton of men, of wild boar, come through the door. Because with all due respect to theater men, they're built differently, right? They're spelt and they're built differently. Here he comes. I'm talking about you.
They're talking about you.
They're built differently to, are you going to say hi?
I know, I can't, I want to say, hi! There he is.
How's it going?
We were just talking about how we met.
You guys are amazing.
Thanks.
It literally, I thought I could hear them like come through the door, you know, no necks, just boom, boom, boom. And there they were. And my aim was
I wasn't that heavy.
So I just thought, you know, I'm going to hate them. I hate them all because they get free food. I have to eat the, you know, Burger King twice a day and whatever. And then they sat down and they're like, they're so sweet. They're just like, oh, we think you guys are so great. And you know, we love this show so much. And I was like, don't be nice. Like don't be nice.
You don't know theater. You're football. Don't.
I hate you.
I have to audition for this.
You know what? You did audition. You came in here with your beautiful bodies. This is ridiculous. And so it was like just a ton of men, like all of them just standing there, and they were, you know, and I always crack up because I remember like all the dancers, people were just stretching. All the dancers were like leg in the air.
Yes. Uh-huh.
You know what I mean?
Like over their head, just like.
People were men and women, splits on the ground, legs in the air. It was just like, what is happening over here? So that's how we met. And then when we started, we were just friends. We were trying to, you know, I would tell him who to date, whatever. And then he came to New York to play for the Jets. And I was doing The Lion King at the time. And we would kind of pimp each other's tickets. Mm. So The Lion King, you know, he'd be like, I need 4 tickets from you. And I was like, my crew made like 6 tickets from you. And so we would exchange tickets. And then when I started AIDA, I remember I would say to them, they would say, you don't have a boyfriend. I was like, oh, I'd like a boyfriend. You know, somebody like Brian, but not Brian. He's just my friend. And people would say, you know, he likes you. Even Elton. Elton said to me one time, you know, he's very cute. You know, he likes you. And I was like, no, he doesn't. Is that it?
Elton knew.
And so then, it, you know, we had to have a little conversation about what is going on here. And that was it. And since then, he's been the best boyfriend, best husband, best daddy. And Yeah,
amazing. How long have you been together?
Oh my gosh, it's 17 years. Yeah, so it's been a little minute. But you know what, ladies, it feels like we've been together all my life because I've told him so many secrets. So like I remember like one time I was talking to him and I said to him, I said, you remember like when I was 5? You remember, right?
He was like,
No, but I've told him so much that I think so. And then on the other end, I feel like it's just been 2 years because he's made it go so quick.
Well, Kara, you and Graham have been together for
17 years as well.
And I'm at 14. So it's, I get it. It's like, you feel like, what was the life before? Like, I had a long relationship before that, but I don't even know who that person was. Like,
It's really like, who is that? Yeah.
And especially when children come into it too, it just like creates this, I don't know, the bond just gets even stronger than it was before, clearly.
And it's true because, you know, sometimes that it could go bad.
Exactly. Absolutely.
Right. Or you get stronger. And I'm grateful that we've gotten stronger. I don't know. Life without him would be ridiculous. I mean, he really is. He's just the best. He really is the best. I'm very grateful to him. And he's been so great about career and about what I do. A fan, but not a fan, more support.
Right.
You know? He's a football player. He can't sing a note. But I've had him in dressing rooms before. He'd be on his computer. I'd come down. He's like, oh, you sang that differently. You could sing that better, couldn't you? Yeah. And then I was like, you're right.
that's the best kind though, because they don't have anything else to compare. You know what I mean?
You're right. Yes. They have no idea. I call him Joe Schmo. He's going off of emotion. Yes. Where we go to the theater and we're just like, that was not the right way to do that. Mm-hmm. Oh, darling. You know what I mean? And he's just like, I didn't feel it. And I'm like, it's him I want to please, not, you know, the theater.
Exactly. Every once in a while, this is totally off subject, but I wish I could go back to a time where I didn't know so much about theater and experience a show the way I did before I knew about it. Your husband, he's the audience that we play to, right? The people that are coming into this magical experience who don't know about technique, who don't know all the bits and pieces that form this magical thing that they get to witness. And I wish I could go back in time and see it that way, you know?
We can never go back to before.
Thank you.
Also in my book. So. No, but it's true. I mean, Eric, we talk about this all the time. My husband is also an actor and, you know, he's like, I see the strings. Like he enjoys the amount of things he really enjoys is the list is very short. Do you know what I mean? When we go to see things nowadays, because he's like, I see the strings.
Yes.
The strings on the puppets. And it's like so hard for him to not. So
people ask me all the time, they're like, so do you go to the theater? And I was like, it's like going to the factory to see how somebody else made the sausage, because the entire time I'm just like, I would have sung that differently. Yeah. Or I'm like, oh, good job on that. And I hate it. I hate that part of it. So even let's talk about Color Purple. when I went in, they called me about Color Purple and they were just like, can we, you know, my agent said, I normally don't tell you this because it's replacing. We wouldn't do it, but this is a different situation, blah, 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 blah. And I remember saying, I'm going to pay for my tickets. I'm going to pay for everything because my aim was to tell them, no, I'm not coming to do the show. I don't want to take the money, blah, 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 to, you know, for the tickets or anything like that. And Brian said, let's go. And I said, I remember saying to myself, let me take him. I'm going to take him because I feel like if I go, I will have this whole, I will see the strengths. And ladies, he went in there. And at intermission, I look over and he's weeping and he goes, you're going to do this. And I was like, what happened, daddy? I was like, what are we talking about? And he's like, you're doing it. And I think that's the thing. It's every now and then we need that person who doesn't, I mean, I felt what he felt. So it Color Purple is a different situation, but you know what I mean? Just like we don't go in looking for anything, or why did you sing it like that, or did you mix that, or did you belt it, or and just what is the emotion of it, what is the audience feeling, because those are the people we're playing for, you know what I mean. So absolutely. Yeah, it's good.
Absolutely. And now you don't have to do the 8-show week grind, at least for now, and you've got the television week. I mean, for this week, well, for these few months at least. Yeah. But I'm so excited to see your show because I'm, like I said, I'm a Southern girl, and I love any kind of time I can journey back to that time and sweetie and not so much the humidity and the mosquitoes. But so your character is a single woman, correct, on the show, from what we're reading about it? I mean, we haven't seen spoilers, right? But she's a single woman, obviously very career driven then, probably, who's hyper focused on herself. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of times we talk about being mothers, that it's the most, as actors, we tend to be very selfish, as are a lot of people who are, you know, who are very focused on their careers, which do your thing. But once you become a parent and a mother, you can't be selfish anymore, you know? Yeah. So was it interesting? What was it like going back to maybe that person, that part of who you were at once upon a time? Yeah. Of course you were two months postpartum, but how did that inform, or did it inform, the work you did on the show or when you developed your character?
Well, the funny part is that my character wants to be a mommy. And so she is, and I know about that time as well in our lives, in a marriage, because we had a little trouble with our first. And she really wants to be a mom. And so she takes on the role of aunt and godmother. And she's kind of thrown herself into her community and her girlfriends and their children. So it was still, I could go with the pain of that. Yeah. You know what I mean? Of not being able to have children and wanting it and getting older and feeling the panic, you know, but yes, she does kind of throw herself into the shoes and her clothes and her friends and the other things that, you know, you don't have to deal with. Remember those things?
All the expendable income, like the disposable income, right?
Eating for 4 hours, eating, having a meal for 2 hours and standing and sitting.
Sitting down? What? Living in my kitchen?
I don't know. About.
Not being like, I'm done.
Right. Exactly. Oh my gosh. Remember we just sitting, I told my husband, I was like, remember when we used to go for long dinners and just like sit there? We do it maybe once a year. Maybe we'll go to, you know, and we always try, you know, we pick somewhere real good. You know, we pick like Gramercy Tavern or somewhere Le Bernardin, like something that is like, we're going to do it. And we're doing it up and we sit there and do the tasting menu and everything. But yeah, that disposable income, boy, realize how
disposable time, like disposable time. I mean, we had nothing but time before. Although if you asked me then, I wouldn't have felt that way. That wouldn't have been my answer.
Right.
You know, hindsight is 2020, clearly. But yeah, time. What is time? Especially right now. Oh my God.
And you're just kind of like, oh gosh, they woke up again. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like they're up at 6 o'clock in the morning and they're ready to go.
And it is go.
Brian and I went to this restaurant one time. We had no kids. And I remember I ate so quickly. They brought the soup and I went. And he was like, he said, Ev, the kids aren't here. We actually had time to. I was like, oh, I forgot that I can actually get the soup cold. Like, right. I was like, give me another. And Sue was like, oh, because normally you're just like head down. Yeah. You know, like even showers, just.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Get it done.
Mm-hmm. Get it done. You're done.
I definitely have not showered today, Heather. So I'm sorry. It's good that
I haven't either, Jess. It's all good.
Some dry shampoo in my hair, and I like cross my fingers, and I'm wearing pajama bottoms underneath the camera. So.
I mean, for better or for worse, he's supposed to love me.
I mean, it is what it is.
I know. This is such a Broadway thing. I'm like, you're gonna love me.
I won't tell you how I used to sing that in my house and my parents could hear me in the driveway.
Is that in your book?
It's not in my book. But 11-year-old me used to sing that in my living room when I was home by myself. You better believe it. My parents would be like, we heard you all the way out in the driveway. I was like,
the only good way about it is if you do the
No, it's so true. So in this time, in this strange time that we are in, were you guys had already wrapped. So did you have other work lined up or were you like, oh, I'm going to have a little hiatus or.
Yeah. All of the above, I had wrapped, I had done Respect the Movie and I had just wrapped that. Right. And so I finished that and I was like, okay. And funny enough, I had a break. I had some concerts that I was supposed to deal with, to do. And, but nothing crazy. And I remember going like, well, this is weird. I'm going to have to be home with my children. Oh my God.
Right.
I'm not sure they like me. I'm not sure they're going to, you know, and, who knew that it was going to be like this, you know? So the concerts of course have gotten canceled and, you know, and everything had to be on hold. But yeah, I wrapped my side of it before this started. Yeah.
And I mean, I'm sure, you know, there is an adjustment and we've all had this period of adjustment and it's definitely not normal for us. Especially those of us on 8-show-a-week schedule and things like that or shooting things. But, I found that it's been such a gift in some ways. Like, I mean, there are struggles and I hate the pain it's causing so many people. And I do miss our life, but my daughter until this time had never had us both home for dinner more than Sunday and Monday nights. You know what I mean? Like one of us was always on a show schedule. And so to have this family time together has been such a gift. And this time, I think for us, at least we'll look back and think, oh, wow, that was really amazing. You know, how close you become.
I've said to people through this whole thing, I understand that there's awfulness. There's the death and the hurt and the pain. Right. But I have found such beauty in these ashes, such beauty. If this wasn't happening, I would have to be somewhere, right. Doing all these interviews away from them. I've watched my children grow up. My daughter would not have had this year of me being home. I've seen my son get older. I've seen him actually blossom. You know, we've fallen in love with our children and with each other on a whole new level. We've cried together. We have laughed together. We have prayed and played together. We have learned about each other and learned about this. And I've tried my best to keep them safe and keep them healthy. But there is great beauty in it. And I'm grateful. Can I say? I'm grateful for this time. And I think the boys, and Ellie doesn't care, but I think the boys and Brian and I will look back on it, even though it's not been fun, and even though we haven't liked it, and even though we hurt for everybody that hurts. But we're trying to learn from it as well and learn through it and just love each other. And so, you know, we've been inside. This is day 55 because I started counting. This is my day 55, 8 weeks of it. So we went inside like earlier because we went inside when school closed. We were just kind of like, we're going in. And it's just been us. We haven't hugged on anybody else or done, you know what I mean? So it's just been us. I've watched a lot of Star Wars and...
girl.
I bought a Silkatan. Oh. I've watched Lego Masters quite a bit.
Lego Masters. We watched it. My daughter is a Lego
kid.
Oh my gosh. She rewatches episodes. She knows how it is.
Yeah. I rewatch episodes. Yeah. I've watched a lot of Orders. I've watched it. Yeah. We've done it together. So I've watched my husband. He's in finance now. So watched him deal with the whole thing and just kind of, and last thing I'll say about that whole situation is I think for us, a lot of times Brian has had to be my support, right? So Brian has, health and how are we going to help? And so I'm grateful for this time that I get to prop him up, you know what I mean? Yeah. And make sure he eats and is taken care of. So I've found great beauty in these ashes.
That's beautiful, Heather. That's beautiful. Mm-hmm. Well, then I have one last question and then I think we'll wrap it up, which is what will be the first thing you do when this is over?
Tell us, please.
Oh my gosh. Well, besides going, I have to go to the hairstylist. I would go to
her. Don't we all?
Right? Because my hair is starting to betray age.
Roots.
Yeah. Right?
Mine are there.
My hair is like, no, I'll tell everybody.
I will tell your secrets.
I'll tell your secrets, Steve. She's that. Oh, what's the first thing? Oh gosh, I don't even know if it was the restaurants or I think I want to hug some people. Mm-hmm. I want to hug them. I want to smell their breath.
Girl.
For once in my life, I said to somebody the other day, I said, I want to sit in a restaurant and be like, I heard her whole conversation. You know what I mean? Like, I want to be close to people. I went to the grocery store the other day and we're all in masks and we're dodging and I was like, I don't like that, So
it's a horrible feeling to feel afraid of other people, to feel fear when you see somebody else instead of to feel open to whatever they have to offer you. It's a horrible feeling. Every time I come home from the grocery store, I'm in a terrible mood.
Yes.
I'm like, that doesn't feel like humanity.
No. I totally agree. We're masked up. I'm gloved up. I've got Lysol. I'm wiping. Somebody comes down the aisle and I kind of do the, I'm so sorry about this, but I'm going to take the long way around. And I don't like that. And I just want to go back to the days that we could, I'm like, hey, you're too close.
Right.
You just bounce me.
What I wouldn't give to smell someone on the subway train.
That's exactly. I want to smell your bad breath.
Yeah.
I feel like, and so I feel like I've missed the hugging. Like even we're talking to my mom right now about as this opens up, how we open up. And start opening the circle a little bit. And she misses her grandchildren and, just missing her being close and how do we do that? So I feel like the first order of business will be to kind of have everybody over and just have a big old barbecue and just get in people's faces and your breath is awful.
But I'm so glad I can smell it.
So glad. You smell so bad. And I love it.
Yeah, exactly. Oh my God.
Funny that you say that because my stepmom, my father's wife, whenever she comes in for a hug, she's always like, come here, let me smell you. Yes. And she does. She actively smells. When she hugs me, she goes, there's a scent to the people we love. Breath or body odor, but I can think about what my mom smells like right now, and I want to be able to smell her.
Just to hug on people and smell you, just friends, just to be able to do it. But with this said, I've also gained friendships, because I've called people that I haven't called, and so we've kind of checked in. People I haven't talked to, I'm like, you doing okay? How are you? You call me, email me, tell me how you're doing. And so, so even all those people, it'll be just great to be like, let's just, come on in and get out of this thing. And we will get out of it. I do believe it will end. It shall be well and it'll be okay. Yes. And I will go back to smelling people. Yeah. They'll be like, They'd be like, there's this black girl in the grocery store sniffing people.
Oh my gosh, Heather. This conversation has been so fantastic. Thank you.
It really has. Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys. You know, I always thought, like, on Broadway that I can't put this. Well, there were few of us who had our babies and our, you know, and how we dealt with that. And it was something that, like you said, you try to hide. You know, we had a friend in Aida who was pregnant, 6 months pregnant. And I remember being like, oh my gosh, you know, oh, you know, I would call the stage manager. She's, oh, I can't, you know, tell her stop. And, but I do think that our world, our Broadway world, our musical world has to be able to embrace those mommies as well, you know? And I love it. I loved when Audra was pregnant, God bless her.
I know.
And tapping with that baby in her belly. And I didn't know it was going to be my time as well, but we had somebody pregnant in Color Purple as well. And just, you know, the fact that we can have these babies and still be women and still be on Broadway and be entertainers and carry our bellies. And so I love what you're doing to just show the world that, yeah, I can be a mommy and a wife and love it and still go sing these 8 shows a week. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Oh, thank you so much, Heather.
Anytime.
Be well and stay safe.
Thank you very, very much. You too.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of Mama's Talkin' Loud. Special shout outs to Rachel Spencer Hewitt for our fabulous graphic, Kristen Anderson Lopez, Bobby Lopez, and Justin Ward Weber for our awesome theme song, our producers Dory Berenstein, Alan Seals, and of course, the Broadway Podcast Network for bringing us to you.
If you like what you're hearing and you want to keep the conversation going, you can follow us on Instagram and Facebook, and of course, subscribe and review us wherever you listen to your podcast. Thanks so much for tuning in.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org. Because only together we rise.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.